Welcome to the Elevate the Edge podcast. I'm Maribel Lopez of Lopez Research, and I'm joined with my co-host Joe Peterson of Clarify 360. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. Elevate the Edge is published bi-weekly. The podcast focuses on helping companies understand what edge computing is, how the market will evolve, and what you need to know to build successful edge computing strategies. Show notes and subscription links can be found at elevatetheedge.com/episodes. We hope you'll enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Elevate the Edge podcast. I'm Maribel Lopez, and I'm joined here with my co-host, Joe Peterson. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Maribel.
We're really excited, as always, to be here talking about the edge. And we could think of no better person to kind of tee up the differences of what is or is not happening in the edge than David Linthicum. He is the Chief Cloud Strategy Officer at Deloitte. He's actually many things. He's a best-selling author, a speaker, a radio, TV, and podcast personality. So, you know, we really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, David. So welcome, David.
Oh, great to be here, and thanks for having me. You forgot B-List Geek. I think that's the big title thing. That's probably a more accurate description of what I am.
You know, I was thinking about the B-List Geek, and I thought, I don't know if that's quite accurate. I think he's more of an A-List geek, but, you know, we'll leave that for the audience.
I have proof. Every conference I speak at, when they call me, I go, who turned you down? And there's always somebody else they turn down. So in other words, the A-list didn't pick up the phone, and so they get to the B-list. So I just thought it was funny, because normally when they're asking me to speak, somebody else is, especially for keynotes or, you know, more visible parts of the conference, someone else has turned them down. So hey, I'm on the B-list. No biggie, but I am on the B-list.
You know what? The important thing that matters is, no matter where you are on their list, you're on the list. So yes, that's what I'm going with at this point.
Yeah, if I drop off the list, it's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing. Well, you know, Joe and I have been speaking with a lot of individuals about the edge, and we've been talking a lot about the difference between where we originally thought data was going to be collected and analyzed and how that shifted. You know, there was a lot of, this is very similar. You know, you have centralization and decentralization pendulums that happen quite frequently in IT and in business and in life. And the latest stat that we were looking at was one by Gartner that said by 2025, 70% of the enterprise data was going to be created and processed outside the traditional data center and cloud. And in a lot of ways, that makes sense to me, but I'm really interested in hearing what your thoughts are on that statement.
Yeah, you have to remember there are many types of edge computing, you know, the mobile edge, the cloud edge, device edge, you know, things that are more IoT related or sensor related. I can't imagine now, so they may be having a description of that, which may get to 75% of enterprise generated data that's going to be processed in this way. The reality is that we're becoming a bit more flexible in how we're moving information and processing into any place where it can be most efficient. So if we are going to move in that direction, it could be by 2025 that we've relocated the processing and the data into things that are, you know, like edge computing. So in other words, they could be edge clouds, they could be mobile-based systems, you know, all these sorts of things. The difficulty there, it's hard to get enterprises to change that fast. So, you know, it's the ability to kind of motivate them to move in that direction. I mean, it's taken 15 years to get, you know, 25 to 30% penetrated and people migrating their data and their applications, you know, into the cloud. And if you have another architecture, another thing, they usually take their sweet time in moving. So it's not that they shouldn't. It's not that they shouldn't move because of the reasons I cited, more optimized architecture, cost benefits, things like that, things that you get from edge computing. But the fact of the matter is they typically don't move fast. So I would say that's a bit of a stretch.
You know, I love where you're going with this. And oftentimes analysts are aggressive one way or the other. They either think it's going to take too long or they think it's going to take too short of a time frame. But I think what they were really, the essence of what they were really trying to get at is what you were just describing. And that's that work, you know, basically analytic workload placement where it makes the most sense. And it doesn't have to be an A or a B. And I think when you say it that way, it's like, well, duh, that sounds obvious. But there really was a thought and a momentum that, oh, we're going to put everything in the cloud. And then people were like, oh, we're not going to do anything in the cloud. And then eventually they came to this nice sort of healthy balance of what they wanted to do in the cloud, right? And I think that we're seeing similar trends with the edge.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about architectural optimization. I mean, I talk about this in my InfoWorld blog a lot. And the fact of the matter is, it's not necessarily moving to edge computing or cloud computing or anything between, or and keeping things on existing legacy systems. It's, in other words, what's going to provide the most efficiency to bring the most value back to the business? And that's something that we're not asking ourselves. You got to remember, typically, whatever we do, wherever we move application workloads and data, it's going to work. We can always make it work with enough time and money. The reality is we don't have an unlimited amount of time and money. And also, we're moving resources away from things that are important to deal with these sorts of architectural complexities that we're setting up. So at the end of the day, and I think this is a primary focus where IT should be focused, we're looking to optimize these systems. So getting to a particular architecture pattern that's as close to being 100% optimized, it's never going to be all 100% optimized, but as close to being as optimized as you can get, and then be able to figure out the value metrics and how it comes back. And whether it's edge computing, cloud computing, it's typically going to be a mix of things, you know, multi-cloud, complex, distributed computing system that we're building on. As long as we can prove the value, then it's in its right place. We should really kind of care less what technology we're leveraging.
And I think you've spoken to this, but I'll bring it up anyway. You know, Joe found this interesting stat from Grandview Research, which is talking about the compound annual growth rate for edge at, you know, 38-odd-ish percent, and that the edge growth rate is going to surpass the cloud growth rate. It basically said the edge growth rate will be about 15 to 20%. Do you agree with that projection, or does that projection even matter because it's just really about wherever the workload should be?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I think what they're doing is they're looking at the acceleration of the market, and obviously the momentum's on the edge side. Cloud's been around for 15, you know, 20 years, 30 years if you count SaaS and some of the application delivery networks we had in the past. And so it's an old-timey model that's been around that, you know, people are just getting into today. You think about it, it took us a long time to move in that direction and get the amount of penetration that we have. So edge-based systems, including everything that's, you know, mobile edge and cloud edge and, you know, all these things that kind of grow stealthy around you, people don't realize that they're there until they go, well, that's an edge-based system you're holding in your hand. It's a phone, it's a car, it's a motorcycle you're driving around. So I think that's what they're counting on. And I think that's probably close to what we're going to see. So if they're going to surpass the growth rate, it's going to be the acceleration of the rate. You remember that it's not only the growth rate of cloud computing has been around for a long time, it's going to grow at a relatively stable pace, but now it's re-interest into edge-based systems, which is going to grow by an accelerated pace because guess what? It's new technology. So the adoption is going to be a bit more aggressive. And also, by the way, it's cheaper to get into. I mean, Raspberry Pis are cheaper than an actual Raspberry Pi. So we don't have to buy big cloud infrastructures and things like that. We can get into edge-based systems with very small amounts of money. So hardware costs have gone down. And if you looked at hard drive disk storage costs have gone way down in the last 10 years. So this is really kind of a viable lower cost option in many instances. So that's going to drive the growth of it.
You know, now I'm wanting some Raspberry Pi, but not the type that you have to connect and program. The other type would be really good right about now. And I did have to laugh because I remember way back in the day, we were talking about web hosting and application hosting. We had, you know, ASPs, which then became SaaS. The web hosting kind of moved into being more like cloud, and we have IoT and M2M, and that's more like edge right now. And it's just interesting to see how the different curves move over time. Joe, over to you.
Well, you know, I gotta love the marketing fluffy stuff, right? I read this thing the other day and it said, edge is the new cloud. Like, you know, and I, David, as I think about this, one of the myths is that edge is going to somehow displace cloud computing. But Maribel and I have talked about this. We both think they're complementary technologies. What do you think?
Well, you have to be on the edge of something. So you have to be on the edge of a cloud. And normally, you know, I looked into the market last year in terms of the growth of the edge vendors out there, and I found out that the primary technology providers that are cashing in on edge computing are the public cloud providers. You know, it's AWS, Microsoft, and Google that are providing access to these various systems. They wouldn't build, they wouldn't promote it if it wasn't complementary for what they're looking to do. And so the reality is we deal with architecture through tiers. And so in many instances, we're going to place some processing and even some AI capabilities, some analytical capabilities, some storage capabilities on edge-based systems. Could be an edge-based device or a complete edge-based cloud, whatever you need that's closer to the location where it can do the most good and have the lowest latency and also run with the less cost. But we're always going to need these back-end systems that do these huge honking processes and store petabytes and petabytes of information that's very difficult to do with an on-premise device or very difficult to do with an edge-based computer or certainly, you know, a cell phone or something like that we hold in our hands or in our vehicles. So it's going to be a paired, it's going to be a paired value relationship. So the reality is, like, when I put systems together, I look for things that can be placed at the edge for the reasons that we're talking about here, performance and cost viability, things like that. But in many instances, those are two heavyweight processes. You have to put them on the back end systems. They can process faster back there. And the reality is, if these things working together in different tiers are able to do much more. So it's a paired value. And edge is going to need cloud. Cloud's going to need edge. So we might as well just move on. It's another architectural option at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is. And that's a great answer. And speaking about paired value, I've read that you can get into a situation where you run the risk that your data capture will outpace your ability to drive business insight at the edge. So with that in mind, with the end in mind, why is it really important to have an edge strategy with a cohesive plan for managing the data and the infrastructure? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, it's ultimately, you have to have an edge strategy because, again, it's an architectural option. It's a reason we can save money in looking at various technologies. You know, that book I'm writing and, you know, looking to an insider's guide to cloud computing, spoiler alert. But I do a lot of stuff in looking at the viability of different architectural options, not necessarily looking at cloud-only based solutions or edge-only based solutions, things like that. So you have to look at the volume of data, how you're managing data, how you're processing data, and insights or observability you want of that data you want to sync back into immediately to the source of the data. So in other words, a jet engine, for example, your ability to have an insight that's on fire and you have to pull a fire extinguisher so you don't crash the airplane. You're going to want to have those things on the edge-based systems that aren't connected to a ground-based system because it's not that hard to determine if something's on fire and then take an action on that. So again, it becomes balancing. In other words, your ability to put the right amounts of information processing, looking at what you're looking to do, looking at your future uses of data, and then really kind of managing information to the point question you had is something that's centralized. So have a centralized control plane that runs data that controls and deals with data observability and governance and management across the edge-based systems and the cloud-based systems. And by the way, extend that to your legacy systems, traditional systems, all these sorts of things. The reality is that we can't start segmenting data all over the place like we've been doing for the last 30 years and expect better results. We have to have some sort of a central control plane that's able to leverage the data where it exists, manage it where it exists, and the data is hosted where it exists because of some business reason. And that's because it's the more optimized place to be. Sorry for the complex answer.
I'm glad you did it. And I have had the pleasure of reading a couple chapters of your book. So please plug the book again in case everybody didn't hear the title.
Insider's Guide to Cloud Computing. Secrets No One Will Tell You.
I love that. I love
working
that.
Title.
So, David, we're hearing a lot from different technology vendors about creating. You just mentioned this discussion about managing and orchestrating and managing from the edge and into the cloud. And we're starting to hear about people trying to create systems for that. Is that something that you see being a coming trend over the next year, this multi-cloud or edge through cloud management stack so that you can do security and governance and other things? Or is that just a lovely Nirvana pipe dream that will never happen?
It's right now it's a pipe dream that certain technologies exist and you can certainly make it exist on PowerPoint because I've done it a few times. But the ability to have this logical abstraction layer that sits across your edge-based systems, your legacy systems, your multi-cloud, your public clouds, your private clouds, and also industry clouds and, you know, everything else we're looking to build. And we're doing that for a few reasons. Number one, it's if we put native security systems and operating systems on each of those devices, and each of those platforms, including edge-based devices, we're going to have several security systems, several governance systems, several operation systems, things like that. It's just going to become too darn complex for human beings to figure out. I mean, if you look at some of the security breaches that we had, every damn one of those is always traceable back to systems that are overly complex for the training and humans that are maintaining them. And therefore, they make a misconfiguration, they make a mistake, and then suddenly it's breached. So your ability to eliminate redundancy by doing everything down natively within the particular platform, cloud, edge, legacy, and putting it up at a centralized layer. So when you talk about the data control plane, that would be an instance of that. We're managing data centrally, even though it's physically stored in different formats, different platforms. We're dealing with it through a virtualization and abstraction layer. So it's simplified in terms of how we're dealing with it. So we may deal with the native interfaces, but we're not having human beings dealing directly with that. Well, it's doing the same thing for operations, doing the same thing for governance, and doing the same thing for FinOps and the other Cert 30 services that have to be into these things in order for them to live a healthy life. We're just talking about when they get to this centralized cross-cloud, you know, it's not just cloud, you know, cross-platform layer. We're removing some of the redundancies out of the building the various systems. We're trying to mediate the complexity of building these various architectures. And you think about it, this is going to be the key thing. It's not that edge computing has huge amount of holes in what it's able to do. It works just great. It's the operational complexity that's an outcome of this, because we ultimately have to throw the keys to a company that has to maintain human beings that are looking to maintain the system. So your ability to have to reduce the operational complexity through these cross-platform system security, things like that, is absolutely critical to success. So we have to figure out how that is. And so, you know, people like me and other people, they're calling it super cloud and meta cloud, whatever, the supercalifragilistic, SBLidocious, whatever they want to call it. And it doesn't really matter. As long as you understand that we're trying to reduce redundancy by doing everything in a native way and just get out of the insanity of doing that, that won't scale. So let's figure something else out.
So speaking of native ways, I'm going to give you a really long question here. And it's all fair and good if you give me a really long answer, or maybe you'll have a short one. I don't know. As organizations plan their approach to leveraging edge computing, there's a couple of schools of thought. So the first is known as cloud out, where you take what you're doing in the cloud and move it to the edge. And the idea here is to improve performance and decrease latency. And the second approach is being referred to as edge in. And in this approach, you probably are familiar with it, systems and applications are native. They're built for the edge. And that allows the organization, of course, to bring data into the cloud as needed. Which of these approaches are you seeing more of in the marketplace?
I see more cloud out, but there should be more edge in. There's more cloud out because it's easy to do lift and shift, and take LAMP stack stuff off existing cloud stuff and put it on an edge-based computing edge-based platform. Whether that's a big true server or it's an actual device, we can find ways in which we can run those things. The problem is if the developers don't have an understanding of the platform that they're building their applications on, it's not necessarily going to be optimized. It's not necessarily going to perform to the expectations of the users who are leveraging the system. So once we get that thing, well, it works. Well, it does work, but it's, you know, it costs 150% more to operate that thing. It's going to take more hardware. It's going to take more maintenance. And that's because you didn't build it for the platform. It was moved to that platform as an afterthought, if I get to understand what cloud out is. So the edge in is kind of more of an architecture's architecture, because we're building the thing purpose-built to run on a particular device, to running on a particular server. In other words, we have an understanding of what that platform is capable of doing and the way in which it stores data, the way in which it deals with security and governance and operational type systems. And by doing that, we're going to have a far superior solution, because it's something that should be able to scale. But the thing is, we're engineering it for its particular use case. We're not just engineering it to put in one place and then moving it to another. I think that's just bad computing.
That was a great answer. Thank you.
I love it. That's just bad computing. And I think we should rename the podcast the Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious Edge Computing Cast. That'll fit nicely in a Twitter handle, I'm sure. But I really hear you and respect some of the challenges around that. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is if you could share a couple of vertical specific use cases that you're seeing that are interesting to you today.
Yeah, I just wrote about one today in InfoWorld, and that's the automobile industry. And in other words, the automobile is becoming these huge edge computing systems and platforms unto themselves. So, you know, it used to be we had different systems. It's, if you sit in your car, you have, you know, your play system that you use to encode text messages and play podcasts and things like that. And then your safety systems and your cooperation systems thing. But these cars are really becoming huge smartphones unto themselves with one basic operating system. So the one operating system controls all the things, the entertainment system, the safety system, the operation system. That's where we're moving to. So if you think about that, that is kind of the massive use case for edge computing. And the fact of the matter is we have to operate that in a connected and a disconnected manner because, you know, cellular networks aren't always dependable, and do so in such a way where it's able to provide automated driving systems, the ability to have self-driving capabilities. And that's really kind of life-changing when you get right down to it. Your ability to be more safe in your car than you are in your house. And right now, if you go out in your car, you're hugely in danger, you know, versus doing any other kinds of transportation. And I think that is been moving for a long period of time. I mean, I built prototypes of that in the 90s when I was a young software engineer, younger. And ultimately, it's there's huge amount of value that's going to be put there. All the cloud providers are aiming for that space. And if you think about it, they're aiming to build and own an edge-based system, an edge-based platform that's going to be purpose-built for an automobile. And so we may see them for certain specific brands of automobiles, but I think we may see operating systems are able to span brands. So in other words, we're going to get a truck that's running this particular version of an operating system that handles all these various systems, and we know it's going to work better than these various, you know, systems that are cobbled together and, you know, work independently one to another, aren't necessarily linked and don't add a tremendous amount of value. So it's hugely exciting for me. And I think that, you know, we're going to be talking more about this over the next 5 years.
I absolutely agree. I mean, the cloud is interesting. And then you look at automotive and you can say, well, people talk about a car being a data center, right? A driving data center. So, but it's the ultimate edge processing vehicle when you think of it.
I think the last thing we have for you, David, is a fun fact.
And I brought one.
All right. We're ready.
A crocodile cannot stick out its tongue. I did not know that.
Hmm.
So yeah, they'll never offend you if you get a pet crocodile. they'll never, you know, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, that kind of stuff. Does an alligator stick out its tongue, or is this just a crocodile? And I think about it, crocodiles are more primitive than alligators. So maybe that's just a crocodile thing. So not that I want to run into a crocodile to test out whether it can stick its tongue out or not, but I thought that was a fun fact. I said, oh, didn't know that.
That's cute. That is cute. And so not tech related, which we love.
I love that.
Well, thank you for being our guest today, David. We really appreciate the time and, you know, fun and insightful as always.
You guys do a good job. Ask me back anytime. I appreciate you being on. I appreciate being on your show.
Thanks, David. And we'll put links to all of your interesting work in the show notes and hope to talk to you again soon.
You got it.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe so you can easily find us again. Follow us on Twitter at Maribel Lopez and at Digital Cloud Gal, and on LinkedIn. Links to our social profiles, show notes, and ways to listen to the podcast can be found at ElevateTheEdge.com.